Turn in your Bibles together. If you don't have a Bible, there's a black Bible near you, hopefully. Turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 38, the very first book of Scripture, Genesis 38. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 30. Genesis 38 in verse 1. God's people, these are the words of the living and true God. Let's give our attention unto them. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hurah. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Kazib when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, Go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, Remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son be grown, for he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shears to Timnath, he and his friend Hurah, the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, Behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge, so thou send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, Thy signet, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, Where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, There was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man whose these are, I am with child. And she said, Discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, and bracelets, and staff. And Judah acknowledged them, and said, She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son. And he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Those are God's words. And this chapter, it begins with the son of Jacob. We've just heard a lot about Jacob and his sons. And then Joseph in the last chapter, and what happened to Joseph being sold into slavery. And in here we see Jacob's son, Judah. Judah's sin and his wickedness. We see his marriage and his children through verse 11. And then we as well see the wickedness of Jacob's sons. Or Judah's son, excuse me. Ur was put to death by the Lord for his wickedness. In which Onan, the second son, should then marry Ur's wife. And so Ur, the firstborn, would have an heir according to God's law for Israel. That's in Deuteronomy, that law. But Onan, having married then Tamar, refused to produce a child with her to give Ur an heir. So many people today, also, in that way, refuse to have children just generally. And like that, they're like Onan. And we ought not to be like Onan in that way. Refusing to produce children, maybe for ease of life or whatever. The Lord, therefore, for breaking his law, slew Onan. And then through verse 26, Jacob planned for his next son to marry Tamar, but in time he was too young yet. And so he himself then, we see, committed incest with her, with Tamar, thinking her a prostitute, another wickedness, because she deceived him, wanting an heir. The rest of the passage is Tamar giving birth to the twins, Perez and Zerah. Consider the truth of the passage, beloved. Sometimes we think of the genealogy of Jesus Christ born of the Virgin Mary, and you look at the genealogy in Matthew 1 or Luke 3 and you think, these are all righteous people. Well, that is completely wrong. Remember the king, the promise that a king would reign from Judah, and the son of David who was from Judah, and Jesus came from that line. Described in this passage, he came from this line of Perez and Tamar and Judah. Wickedness. Lots of wickedness. And God shows that his choice is of grace and not of merit, and that Christ came into the world to save sinners, even the chief of sinners, and is not ashamed upon repentance, upon their repentance, to be allied to them. Also, that the worth and worthiness of Jesus Christ are personal, of himself. They're not derived from his ancestors. He humbled himself then to be made in the likeness of sinful flesh. And he was pleased to descend from some that were famous in this way of wickedness. How little reason had the Jews then, and the Gospels who were so called from this Judah, from this tribe of Judah, to boast as they did before Jesus, that in John 8:41, that they were not born of fornication. And yet they were. Consider then your sin, your wickedness, and come and be found in Christ, who alone is your merit, is your righteousness, is your worth, and is your worthiness. That's what we learn, one of the things that we learn in this chapter. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise today. We're thankful for these kinds of chapters that often are just filled with wickedness and evil, and yet in the end are worked for good. That even from people in this chapter come forth through the Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ, born of her and conceived by the Holy Spirit, and yet without sin. We're thankful for his perfect life. We're thankful for his perfect atoning sacrificial death. We're thankful for his perfect resurrection as he rose from the dead on the third day and then ascended on high, and who sits now enthroned as our mediatorial king, reigning over all nations and all people, and even is the head of the church. And so what comfort we can draw, even as what began or seemed to begin in wickedness and brought forth salvation and now comfort for us, knowing Christ is in power, sovereign over all creation. We are thankful for Him, and we are thankful for the Spirit that You work in our hearts, that You keep us from such wickedness, and You turn us from such wickedness. Our Father, we are often entering into sin, and yet by Your Holy Spirit, You call us out of that sin, and You call us to turn from it and hate it and love You. And Father, we love righteousness, and we hate sin. And so, Father, we pray that You would, by Your Spirit, mortify, put to death that sin that still remains in Your children. If any here who are still darkened in their sin have not seen the light, we pray that You would shine the light upon them, that light being Jesus Christ today. And they would believe unto salvation and be saved from this promise of curses, even hinted at with Judah promising to put Tamar to death through burning or cremation, as we talk about it today, which symbolizes curses. And thankfully he saw that she was more righteous in this instance than he was, and that she was not cursed. But in the end she was blessed, and she gave forth children even leading to the birth of Jesus Christ. Father, today we also pray for the church, the bride of Christ. We're thankful that You have upheld us so far, even in the last year. You have increased our numbers. You've strengthened us by Your grace alone. And Father, we're thankful for the new babies that You're adding to the church. The little babies even in the womb, we pray that You would be with them and strengthen them. Of all of our children, we pray that You would give them faith in Jesus Christ. You would send Your Spirit and change their hearts. And change their wills, change their desires. That they would then long, which they cannot do of themselves, but they can if Your Spirit changes their hearts. That they would long to be with Jesus and love Jesus and believe on Him. Give them salvation, justification. Make them righteous in Your sight. In the sight of You, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray and ask for these things in the name of Jesus and for the gospel going forward. We pray in this way that You would increase the church, increase the number of the church and Your kingdom throughout the world. We pray also that You would be with us in our evangelism. Father, make us even in these times bold to proclaim the gospel, and that You would bring many in. And they would hear for the first time or hear for the 20th time or whatever, but that they would finally believe. And You would save Your people, save Your elect, not only in this congregation, but all congregations throughout the world. Use Your servants, Your Christians, Your people to do this, even as weak instruments as we are. And Father, forgive us of our sin. We have committed many sins against You. Forgive us. Turn us from them. That we would in our lives honor Christ, Your Son, and not quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit. Father, we give You praise again for the marriage of Oscar and Michelle yesterday. We're thankful everything went pretty well in the service and everything surrounding that. We pray that You would bless them and their marriage now for the rest of their lives, and grant to them health and many blessings, children, grandchildren, etc., as we pray for all of us here today. And then, Father, we do ask for those who are unable to be here because of the weather. Father, keep them. Bless them today, even as they might be listening online. Father, we pray that You would watch over them and grant to them Your Spirit today, as we pray for ourselves, that the Word would be heard and You would work Your great working of blessing in Your people, sanctifying us and justifying us and then in union with Christ, glorifying us at the right time. Father, we pray for your church which is suffering, and where we might suffer in the future or be persecuted in the future. Father, we pray that you would uphold us. You would have us to, even when it seems like the wicked prosper, that we would, upon entering the sanctuary, upon entering before your throne, we would remember the things, and you would teach us your ways, and you would remind us that the end for the wicked is hell and death, but the end for the righteous, your children, is life eternal and blessing forevermore. Give us comfort in this, even in the midst of suffering and persecution, if it would come, in which you promise it will come to all heirs in Christ. And then, Father, we pray for those churches who are without ministers. We pray that you would provide for them, grant to them a minister soon, that they would have a regular, consistent preaching ministry and pastoral ministry amongst them. For we know that is primarily how you continue your church and uphold your church through the weak instruments of ministers, teaching and preaching and discipling the children of God. Father, protect this congregation from evil. Protect us from false teaching. Protect us from any person who would stand here where I am, that they would turn from any false way and sin and exalt in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel would be proclaimed, and that the Spirit would be sent forth by you and save your people and sanctify us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.